Know the year is a time for a new beginning. Some people set resolutions or make resolutions, make some changes in their lives, and it is a good time for us to sort of begin to review ourselves and our lives, take inventory of the situation. Businesses and others have to take inventory at this time of the year. Their sales and their losses and their expenses, and list that unsold merchandise, the inventory which they have, determine how successful that they have been in the past and how that they can be more successful in the coming year. I think God encourages Christians as well. We need to take inventory of our lives, not necessarily at the beginning of a new year, but that seems an appropriate time to do it, because it's something on our mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Examine yourselves," or test yourselves, "as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves," or test yourselves. "Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified," or unless you fail the test, or unless you're reprobate, I believe the King James translation says. So here's instructions to them to test themselves, take inventory of their lives, make sure that Jesus Christ is really abiding within them. So it seems that's appropriate for us to do as well. Each and every Christian ought to do it. In Galatians 6 and verse number 4, likewise we find instructions written to the Galatians saying, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." So we need to examine our work. We need to look at ourselves and see how that we are doing. Reset some goals, perhaps. We need to reevaluate our spiritual progress and our spiritual growth. We've been studying in our adult class in Romans chapter 5, and again, I commend that class to you. Every Christian needs to be studying from that book. But it's studied there in regards to growth and the warnings given of what can happen to us, how we can fall away and so fall away that we cannot be renewed to repentance if we do not grow and make progress spiritually. So we need to stop sometimes and to evaluate our spiritual growth and progress, to set some goals and to make some plans. Maybe we need to evaluate our spiritual strengths and to make corrections that need to be made. So this morning I want us to look at this just a little bit. How important are goals to us? Do we as Christians need to have some goals? Does the Lord's body need to have some goals? And to challenge you, I want to challenge in each and every one to set some goals. You know, goals are very important. I heard one fellow talking about he was going to get on a plane. I don't remember what city it was headed for. It seemed like it was Atlanta, Georgia or someplace, and he was going to get on the plane. And you know, he says, "When I board that plane this afternoon, I sure hope that pilot has the same goal in mind that I do. And I hope when I get on that plane, he's going to fly that thing to Atlanta, Georgia, and he's not going to just get up there someplace and being a wandering generality, not really know where he's going." Well, that's important, to know where we are going and what goals that we have. We're never going to know whether we get to where we're going if we don't have any goals. And most of us are not going to like where we arrive if we do not set some goals with where we want to arrive. You know, the Lord made plans, and he's our example. We need to look at this. God made plans. He set some goals. He planned for our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Notice he made some plans before the foundation of this world, it says here, that in Jesus Christ we should be saved, that in him we should be holy and before him without blame. And that he marked out from before the beginning that we should be adopted to be the sons of God, adopted to him to be his sons by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. That was his will, his plan, his goal that he set before the world began, that through Jesus Christ we should have the hope of eternal salvation. So God set some goals. He made some plans. And whenever the church was established, whenever Christ came into the world, he came for a purpose, didn't he? He didn't just happen here upon this earth one day. He was working the plan of God, and he had a purpose for his coming. He had a plan, a goal, something to be accomplished. And after he had accomplished that goal and died for us, died as our Savior up on the cross according to God's plan, he then ascended back to heaven. But before he did so, he gave some plans. He set some goals for his disciples, something for them to accomplish. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Here was his plan. Here's the work that he made some great plans for his disciples, particularly for the 12 apostles here, as he sent them to go and preach the gospel to every creature, to all the world, and teach him to observe everything that he had taught. So Jesus left a work for us to do. He left a plan, a goal, something for us to accomplish. And then after his resurrection in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, shortly before he ascended back to heaven, he said to the apostles, "You're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world." Here was the plan. You're to start in Jerusalem. He told them to wait here in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And you're to be my witnesses here. And here was the plan. First was Jerusalem, then out to Samaria, to Judea, then out to Samaria, and then to all of the world. So the Lord had a plan. He had a goal, something that he wanted accomplished. He had individual plans for various churches and various men. In Acts chapter 13, in verse number 2, he said, for example, through the Holy Spirit to the church at Antioch, he said, "You separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." He says, "I've got to work for Barnabas and Saul. And use the spiritual leaders here of this church. You set them aside apart for this work." He was sending them out on that first missionary journey and in accomplishing these plans of preaching the gospel to all the world. Now, the Lord does not just play things by ear. He doesn't just follow the drift or the stream of things or the tide as it's going along. He's always had a plan for this world, a goal to be accomplished. And he pulls the strings, and he has plans for individuals' lives and for each one of us to accomplish various things. He has plans for churches, for the work to be done in fulfilling his plan of preaching the gospel of all through all the world, of salvation of all of mankind. That's his goal. That's his plan. He plans ahead. He sets goals, and he makes things happen according to that plan. We too must set some goals. We too must individually make some plans. The Apostle Paul made some plans. In Romans, in the first chapter, verses 9 through 15, he talks about his plans of wanting to go to Rome. He said he had a desire to see them. He wanted to impart to them some spiritual gift. And he was praying that it might be the Lord's will that could be accomplished. He says, "As much as in me is, I want to preach the gospel to those of you who are in Rome." He had a goal. He had a plan. This is what he wanted to accomplish. But let's zero in on one of the the big goal. Read with me from Ephesians, the third chapter. Turn with me to this passage here and see the goal, the big goal that Paul held before him and before that he wanted to accomplish above all. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. Paul says, "But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. For indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ." Now his goal helps him to know what's important in his life. He says, things that might have been important for me, building up my flesh, giving me a name and a reputation and so forth, or financial gain and riches, they're all loss. That's not according to my goal. I want to gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Here's what Paul wanted above all else. He says, I want to know him, Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to be like him. I want to participate in the power of his resurrection, in his suffering, conform to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, that's all my ultimate goal, to attain from the resurrection of the dead. And then he says, not that I've already attained. He says, I haven't reached this state yet, nor am I already made perfect. But I press on that I may lay hold on that which Christ also has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't reached my goal. I haven't got a hold of what I want yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Paul says, my goal is to attain the resurrection of the dead, to obtain that prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Every one of us need to have goals. I have some goals in my life. A man by the name of Maxwell Waltz wrote a very good book called Psycho-Cybernetics. I won't try to explain what he means by that, but he made some very profound statements. One of the things that he pointed out is that he was pointing out the need for us to have goals. And he said it's just like an interceptor missile. Our life is just like the interceptor missile. And that missile, you'll remember doing the war a couple of years ago. And whenever Iraq was sending those rockets over into Israel and other countries there, Saudi Arabia, but they had some interceptor missiles that they shot out. And those things had a goal. They had a target. Their target was that big rocket that was coming in to try to explode it before it hit on the ground. And it sought out that target. If it was going the wrong direction, it would correct itself and zoom in and hit that thing and explode it. And those smart bombs which they used, they had a target. And they'd correct themselves and guide them right into the target so it exploded, blew up the thing that they wanted destroyed. Now this man is saying that goals do that for us in our lives, that we need goals in order to accomplish that which we want to accomplish. And if we don't have goals, you know, we're just like that interceptor rocket, you know, it's liable to spew, go circle around here and come back down and explode ourselves. You know, it's not going to blow up in the wrong place. A member of the Lord's church by the name of Ron Willingham also wrote a book entitled Life is What You Make It. And he pointed out some needs for goals that we have in our lives. He said they'll help us to concentrate our efforts on that, on the goal, what we're, so we don't spend time doing something out here that doesn't accomplish our goal. It'll help us to become more excited and enthusiastic as we move toward our goal. It'll give us self-confidence. We can feel confidence as we start moving toward our goal. It'll make our decisions more easily. I don't want to do this because it doesn't help with my goal. Or this is the thing I'm going to do. It moves me toward my goal. Makes decisions easier. And it builds desire. It instills desire for us to reach our goals. So he says we all need goals. And yet, over 95% of people, they tell us, live life without really any goals. We're just here. We don't know who we are, what we're trying to accomplish, or where we want to be 10 years from now, or 50 years from now, or 100 years from now. We're just here, we're existing. We need some goals, like Paul's. I'm sure that many of you have heard me speak about my goals as well. My goals, based upon Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, is to join a great crowd of witnesses one day. As Paul spoke there, seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. There he's talking about those great men of faith. Abraham, Moses, all those in that Hebrews chapter 11, all of those great men of faith, a great cloud of witnesses. He says they're like watching and as we run the race here upon this earth. I want to join that great crowd of witnesses one day. I want to go as a part of a great cloud of witnesses to heaven. There's people that I can think of all over God's earth that I want to be a part of that great cloud of witnesses, that we can join the Lord one day in heaven and there be with Him throughout eternity. People all the way to Africa, people in Tennessee that I've known where I preach the gospel, in Kansas, all over the state of Oklahoma and Missouri, where I've known Christians and preached the gospel. See a great cloud of witnesses be there one day in heaven above. That's my goal. The words of a song, you'll notice there's an extra song up there, number 708, isn't that it? Call your attention to that song. I forgot to bring the song, but it says, when we all get to heaven. You know, that ought to be the goal of each and every Christian. I don't know what your goal is. A lot of Christians don't know really where they're headed. A lot of us are doing things here upon this earth just to take care of food and clothing and shelter, and we're not looking beyond the daily needs. We're not looking beyond the clouds to that ultimate goal that ought to keep us moving toward it. And our goal needs to be, as the song, as the words of this song here state, when we all get to heaven, we want to see Jesus. When we all see Jesus, that ought to be the goal of each and every one of us. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Is that your goal? Ought to be the goal of every Christian. Let's sing this together, David.